Good morning, Cornerstone. Apologize for starting late today. The praise team was rehearsing and I had my eyes closed, enjoying myself, and we lost track of time. As I was preparing this message, I was singing the song constantly, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Reminded of another song, "I Am a Friend of God." I love to sing that song. I am a friend of God. We Christians, we love to claim to have invisible friends. And I think the reason for that is because we don't have many visible friends. We live in an age of individualism, where the quest of each person is to be their most authentic self. Life and the journey of life is all about me, and people are expected to accept my self-expression, whatever that is. It is no wonder then that in society today, and even in the church, there are so few authentic friendships. Because self-expression has become more valued than any other virtue. It is disappointing to say, but we are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are active in the church, but so very often we have no friends. Can anyone relate to that? We have no friends. And in the absence of real friendships, we turn within, become subject to the same feedback loop of our own deliberations. We live in our minds. And because of this, we make the same mistakes over and over again. We fall for the same deceptions over and over again, injuring ourselves through dissatisfying comforts that never make us feel any better, all because we have no friends in our lives. I want to ask the question of us this morning by a show of hands. How many of us would say that we have at least one true friend? At least one true friend. That's very good. That's very good. I'm going to define friendship for us, and I'll ask that question at the end of the sermon if I remember, to see if what you have is actual friendship or just an acquaintance. Someone said that each friend represents a world within us, a world possibly not born until they arrive. And it is only by this meeting that a new world is born within. And that's the beauty, that's the wonder of friendship. It gives us the ability to experience the world through the eyes of another. To look at our situation from someone else's vantage point, that's the benefit, one of the benefits of friendship. Friendship offers us an opportunity to get out of our own heads and to share our lives and our minds with someone else, to find relief from the monotony of our own imaginations. Friendship. Finding true friends can be difficult, especially today. And finding true spiritual friendship can be nearly impossible. Finding friendship can be difficult, but finding true friendship, spiritual friendship, can be nearly impossible. At least that's the way it is for the discerning believer. Cultivating and maintaining a healthy spiritual friendship can be a daunting task, but the work is worth the benefit. I don't know if you picked up on this in the book of Exodus, but Moses seems to be quite the solitary kind of man. Moses doesn't seem to be the kind of man who has many friends. His isolated character may have come from being reared in a house where he was different from everybody else. Maybe he had developed a distrust of people. Maybe that distrust came from the fact that he was abandoned as a child by his parents. I don't know what the reason was. But Moses seemed to be a very isolated man. And if you look throughout Scripture, you find that most of the great prophets in the Old Testament and even the apostles in the New, many of them seem to be very isolated, somewhat lonely men. I found it very interesting that after Moses killed the Egyptian in chapter 1, that Moses didn't run to a friend's house to ask for advice or to seek comfort or protection. He didn't run to a friend's house. He ran away into the desert. And when he ran away into the desert, he didn't check with anybody. He didn't tell anybody he was leaving. He had no one to tell. He had no friends. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. In other words, trouble to the person who has no friends. And so what is friendship? Friendship is rather hard to define, and every definition I found sounded so technical that I just didn't want to read them. But as we observe the relationship between Moses and Jethro, we can discover some of the attributes of what a healthy spiritual friendship looks like. And the first thing we learn is that a friend supports you when you're in trouble. A friend supports you when you're in trouble. Verse 2 says that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took in Moses' wife, Zipporah, after he had sent her away and her two sons. We don't know exactly when Moses sent her away, whether it was before the crossing of the Red Sea or after. We don't know exactly when the separation occurred, but at some point Moses decided to send his family away. We hope it was for a good reason. Moses was a busy man. He was learning how to serve the people of God, and they weren't making it very easy. In fact, the situation had gotten so bad a couple chapters before this one, the situation had gotten so bad, Moses became concerned that the people were going to stone him. And so sending his family away may have been for their own safety, I don't know. But he sent them away. And who would he send them to? He sent them to his spiritual friend, Jethro. And Jethro took them in without question. Jethro supported what Moses was trying to do. Jethro was willing to sacrifice for Moses if it made Moses' life easier. A friend. Friendship implies a give and take in relationship, in a good spiritual friendship. Support is expected to flow both ways as the needs arise. A true friend can be counted on to offer support, regardless of the inconvenience, regardless of the challenges it may pose. And Jethro is Moses' friend. He offers Moses the support that he needs for this season. But even the most spiritual of friends has limitations. And a good spiritual friend will not be accomplished to you shirking your own responsibilities forever. A spiritual friend is helpful as long as the help is necessary. And if you're a good friend, you won't ask your friend to do for you what you can do for yourself. Here's Jethro at his house in the middle of the night, and someone's knocking on the door. Jethro has raised his children. He's living all alone, enjoying being a bachelor. And he goes to answer the door, and here stands Zipporah with two babies. Moses, put us out. Moses, what? What? Come on in, talk to me. What happened? I don't know. He told us we had to go away. You know, it's okay. You guys can just stay with me. I'll take care of you. Granddad taking care of his little grandbabies. Isn't that sweet? Mm-hmm. But Jethro quickly got tired of that situation. Jethro loaded up that man's wife and his babies and said, you know what? No, we're not doing this. No, you guys got to go. I got my limits. I love you, Moses. I'm a good friend, Moses, but I have my limitations. And these little bad kids running around my house, and I've already raised the poor. Well, now you want me to raise the poor again? No. It's time for these people to go back home. I love you, Moses. I'm a good friend, but I'm not going to allow you to shirk your responsibilities and put your responsibilities on me. This is why some of us don't have many friends, because we're too needy. We expect too much of our friends. We want them to do everything, to live for us, to think for us, to give us everything that we need. We're too needy. That's why some of us don't have friends. Moses should never have dropped his family off with Jethro and just left them. And so Jethro decides in verse 5, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with Moses' sons and his wife in the wilderness where Moses was camped at the mountain of God. And Jethro sent word to Moses and said this, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. I've been laughing about this all week. This brother loaded up the family. Tell Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her. I'm bringing you back your responsibilities. And that's a true friend. True friends are able to confront one another when it's necessary. True friends will not allow themselves to be taken advantage of. And in that way, they maintain a healthy relationship. In friendship, there will be times where one needs more than the other. There will be times where one has to lean more heavily on the other. Friendship is not always an even exchange, but friendship should always be a fair exchange. How many of you have a good friend? And how many of you are a good friend? Friendship should always be a fair and even exchange. And if your friend starts feeling like the relationship is too one-sided, the relationship will begin to dissolve. All I'm saying is that it's fine to depend on your friend. But out of respect for your friend, you should not make yourself a burden when it's not necessary. You shouldn't ask your friend to do things for you that you could do for yourself. In fact, you should only lean on your friend when you have a real need, not just for convenience, but a need. That way the relationship remains healthy for the long term. Because genuine friendship can only flourish if there is mutual respect between friends. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed down and he kissed his father-in-law, and they asked each other about their welfare and went into the tent. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking right there, but his wife is coming, his children have come, and Moses is talking to his father-in-law, asking how his father-in-law has been, and he doesn't even mention anybody else. But here's another obvious point. True friends care for one another's well-being. True friends check in on one another every so often. And it appears Moses was in desperate need of a check-in from his friend. Moses told his father-in-law everything that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. He told his father-in-law all the hardship that had confronted them on the journey and how the Lord had rescued them. You know, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than going through a difficult season in your life and having no one to talk to. Nothing harder than suffering when there is no one to tell about your struggles. Moses needed to vent. And Moses needed to vent to his spiritual friend. And as a leader, I'm sure that there are some things he told Jethro that day that he could never confide in anyone in the congregation. He needed a spiritual friend that he could talk to. Because Moses didn't only tell Jethro what he had gone through. Moses told Jethro how he was feeling. You tell your acquaintances, I learned this from my mother, you tell your acquaintances only the facts. You disclose your feelings to your friends. Let me make it a bit more plain. In the church, you can tell anyone what you're going through, but even amongst believers, it is best to only share your feelings with your spiritual friends. Let me say that again. In the church, it is okay to tell anyone what you're going through, but it is wise to only share your feelings with your spiritual friends. Because being brothers and sisters in Christ does not mean I should divulge every personal matter to the entire congregation. That would be unwise. Because not everyone can understand what I'm going through. Not everyone can sympathize or empathize with what I'm going through. Not everyone is able to keep confidence. It is never a good idea in the church or outside the church to share all of your private thoughts. This is one thing I wish every believer could internalize. That just because we're a part of the church does not mean that every person has my best interest at heart. And even if they do, it doesn't mean they will be able to bear my burden with me. Not everyone can handle my burden. Jethro is able to bear Moses' burden. He is able to laugh as Moses laughs. He's willing to weep as Moses weeps. And he is able to rejoice even as Moses rejoices. Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven when they acted insolently against the people." Another example of what it means to be a spiritual friend. Friends celebrate one another's successes. True friends are glad when their friend is blessed by God. It is a cause of celebration. But it should come as no surprise to you that not everyone is glad to see you prosper. That should come as no surprise to any of us. Not everyone in the church, even in the church, is glad to see you prosper. Not even all the saints. All of us are being sanctified. Some of us may still struggle with jealousy or envy. You have to know who your spiritual friends are, even in the body of Christ. You have to know who will rejoice with you. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God. And so Moses is sharing his friendship with all of the elders of Israel. He's sharing Jethro with all of his brothers and sisters in Israel. It's a time of celebration. Jethro is glad to see that Moses is prospering and that the people are prospering under his leadership. It's a good day. But then the next day comes. And we learn another lesson about spiritual friendship. That true spiritual friends are sometimes brutally honest with one another. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 6 says this, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." In other words, the wounds of a friend are trustworthy. Sometimes my friend may wound me, but it is always for my good. It is always for my edification. A true friend can be trusted. His words can be trusted to make us better. And so from time to time, a good spiritual friend may wound us with brutally honest assessments. That's what Jethro did to Moses in verse 13. It came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, Jethro said, What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? What are you doing, Moses? What is this? In verses 15 and 16, Moses gives his explanation to Jethro. Because the people come to me with their problems, I have to judge between the people. That's what I do from morning. Oh, no wonder you don't have time for a wife and children. You're doing too much. Jethro quickly retorts and says to Moses in verse 17, the thing that you are doing is not good. Oh, he just said it point blank. The thing that you are doing, Moses, is not good. Point blank. That's a true spiritual friend for you. And here's the thing. It's not as though nobody else had noticed that Moses was deteriorating. It's not like nobody else had advised Moses, this is a bad idea what you're doing. We don't know if they advised him or not, but there could have been someone else who tried to tell Moses, you're doing too much. But Moses needed a spiritual friend to tell him, someone that he trusted. I don't take advice from everybody. I take advice from people that I trust. I take advice from people that I respect. Moses needed a spiritual friend to tell him the truth. What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you because the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do this alone, Moses. You're doing too much. You're not God, Moses. And here is another hallmark of true spiritual friendship. A spiritual friend gives advice, not commands. Let me say it again. A spiritual friend gives advice, not commands. True friends don't tell one another what to do. True friends make recommendations. True friends give advice and counsel. But true friends do not give direction. Listen to how Jethro advises Moses. He says in verse 19, now listen to me. I will give you counsel and God be with you. He doesn't say Moses needs to adhere to his perspective or his way of viewing things. God be with you. In other words, I'm going to give you some advice, Moses, but you still need to take it before God to see if what I am saying is right for you. I don't have the final say in your life. I'm not trying to run your life. I'm going to give you a piece of advice and then you take it to God. He gives the advice in verse 23. He says, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you'll be able to endure. I don't want to control you and I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do and I'm not trying to run your life. Jethro has given Moses what he believes to be good advice. But Jethro leaves space for Moses to make his own decisions. I hope somebody's catching this. If you have the kinds of friends that give you advice and expect you to take all of their direction, you don't have true spiritual friends. True spiritual friends give advice and counsel, but they allow you the space to make your own decisions, to manage your own life. You should not have a friend in your life that towers over you. You should not have a friend in your life who is always telling you what is best. That's not healthy spiritual friendship. You want the kind of friend who can gently advise and leave you room to reflect and to decide for yourself. That is a healthy spiritual relationship. A friend who respects your decisions. And whenever you know that you found this kind of friend who can respect your boundaries, you should listen to them. Friends listen to one another. Verse 24, so Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything that he had said. This doesn't mean that friends always follow their spiritual friend's advice. It only means that friends open themselves to seeing from the other person's perspective. And thereby we grow. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So does one man sharpen another man's countenance. Then Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law. And Jethro went his way back to his own land. And this is my final thought, that good friends, good spiritual friends give us space to grow. Good spiritual friends give us space to learn life's lessons on our own. Good spiritual friends do not hover over us to always show us the way, to give us all of the answers. And it is my prayer for each of you today that God will give you at least one good spiritual friend. Someone to talk to and someone to listen to. Someone to share your life with, someone to share your thoughts with. My prayer for you is that you would learn to be the kind of friend who can be trusted, the kind of friend who can be depended upon in the difficult spaces of life. How many of you have a good spiritual friend? By show of hands, how many of you have a good spiritual friend? How many of you are a good spiritual friend? You know, this lesson for me is very personal, because I didn't have any real friends until I was around 40 years old. I've been a loner the majority of my life. I've always done my own thing and thought my own thoughts all by myself. Never realized how much I needed to have a friend in my life, and God gave me a friend, a spiritual friend, my first spiritual friend. I was maybe 41 years old, and God orchestrated this friendship to the point where I could talk to this brother about anything that was on my mind without judgment. And the only time he would ever give me counsel is when I asked for it. He never tried to direct my life. A good friend. These are the kinds of people that give you comfort in the dark days. When the pandemic started back in March 2020, I'll never forget, I had maybe 1,500 friends on Facebook. Ooh, a lot of friends. 1,500 friends. As that pandemic grew and continued on and on, every week I was blocking people. People who I thought were my friends, just going crazy, all kinds of conspiracies and everything. I'm like, you're not my friend. Who are you? What is this about? Yeah. Those aren't real friends. Those are just people that you just connect with to make it look good. You got a lot of numbers on Facebook. All these people are... No. I've only had three friends in my whole life, three spiritual friends, people that I would call a true friend. There through thick and thin, the good days and the bad days, the dark days and the days of light, always there. And do you know that one of my best friends was an unbeliever? Imagine that. One of my best friends was an unbeliever. Somebody I could depend on to come whenever I called. Whatever the need was, always there, always on time. I hope that you have friends in your life like that. Always there. Friends with wisdom. Friends who can give sound and solid advice so that you don't have to walk in this world all alone. I never knew the benefit of a friend until I was in my 40s. I was what you would call self-sufficient. Did it all by myself. I made my mistakes and took my lumps and took my bruises and got back up and tried it again and did it till I got it right. When all the time, had I had a few good friends, they could have saved me a whole lot of trouble. My prayer for us in this church is that you would be able to identify those people in this congregation whom you can call your spiritual friend. Make no mistake about this. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're not all spiritual friends. Can we agree to that? We're not all spiritual friends. We don't. We can be honest about it. I know we say, well, the fellowship and everything. Yes, we are supposed to fellowship. But all of us have different interests that attract us to one person more than another. There's nothing wrong with that. I hope that in this church, you develop at least one healthy spiritual friendship. Someone that you can trust with your deepest secrets. Someone that you can trust to not harm you and to keep your confidence. To love you through it all and not to judge you. And most of all, someone who will not try to manipulate. What's happening, Jason? Good to see you, brother. Friend. Someone who will not judge you, someone especially who will not try to tell you everything you need to do. When you come across a friend who always has the answers for your life, run. When you come across a spiritual friend who always has the solution for all of your problems, run. This is wisdom. Prayerfully from this, you learn how to look for and how to find this kind of friend, the Jethro kind of friend, who supports you through it all, but who will not be taken advantage of. The friend who knows when to cut you off. You're asking too much, you're doing too much, you're going too far. I've got to step away. You have to take care of your own responsibility. I'm not going to allow you to become so dependent upon me that you discontinue to grow. No, that's not friendship. That is not friendship. When I'm always giving you all of the answers, always serving you, always helping you all the time, I'm standing in God's way. And as a pastor, this is something I pride myself on, is staying out of believers' way. Let people learn and grow and live. Not give all the answers, not answer all of the questions. That's not my responsibility. But to be there to give wise counsel when you need it, but knowing when to back away and say, no, you need to live this portion by yourself, so that you can grow and build and develop your relationship with God, and so that no human person becomes the one that you're depending on. Spiritual friendship. If you have one, thank God. If you don't, start asking God to make that divine appointment to introduce to the kind of person who will be that supportive, loyal person in your life for the rest of your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have called us your friends. We thank you, Father God, for entrusting yourself to us and for taking us in. When we were broken and battered and wounded, thank you for being a friend that sticks closer than a brother. My prayer for us today, Father God, is that you will give us spiritual friends, healthy, wise believers whom we can connect with on a deeper level. Someone with whom we can share our lives and they can share their life with us. Help us to be true friends, loyal, trustworthy, gracious and wise and forgiving, without judgment, but to love brothers and sisters in Christ as you have loved us. Also, Father God, I pray that you would give us spiritual discernment to recognize those people in our lives who claim to be spiritual friends, but that are manipulating us, that are trying to control our lives. I pray, Lord God, that we will call no human being father, but that you would be our teacher, and that anyone in our lives who is exercising too much control or authority over our lives, that you would give us the discernment to know and show us what we should do. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for the friendship that we have in this body. Continue to grow and develop us together as one body until we all come together in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.